coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Don't look at me while I'm creating my art.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
I had Spanish in a trailer.
Huntsville Home Video. Now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Huntsville Home Video. Right off the bat, man, we're just going to bring this one down. Fucking Ray Liotta passed away last week.
I don't even want to talk about it.
We got to talk about it a little bit.
I know. I don't want to talk about it because that made me sad. He died in his sleep while he's filming a movie?
Yeah.
Why are they getting younger and younger?
That's messed up.
You know? Like when they pass. I mean, that's sad. Hey.
Yep, pour one out. There we go. We got our pour one out spot here in the Huntsville Home Video Studio.
If it smells like mold in here, that's why.
It's because too many people have been dying. We've been pouring one out.
We got too many real ones going.
Oh,
that's
man.
That was super sad. That hit
legitimately
hard.
There are only a handful of movies that I've ever watched more times than Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, when I call people mutts, that's from Goodfellas. Such a good movie. Ray Liotta was so good in that. There's a movie called Narc, kind of an underappreciated Ray Liotta gem. He is super good in that.
Okay.
Just, damn. Lost a good one.
I know.
Pour one out.
Damn it. I'm going to do it again.
I'm going to pour one out on this side.
Do it. Get it. Unload there. Unload yourself. Whoa. Ready? Boom. Right. There we go.
Pour one out for a real one. But now on to business.
Yes.
We got a movie to talk about today, a movie which my podcasting chum, Leanne Foster, has never seen.
Hello.
I take that back. She has seen it now because she watched it. That's why we talk about it.
That is kind of the formula for this podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Last time we talked about it, I hadn't seen it. Now I have.
Now you have.
Right.
That movie, Gross Point Blank, with John Cusack. One of the early movies that we reviewed was John Cusack, One Crazy Summer.
Yes.
A much younger John Cusack.
Correct.
A movie which you still enjoyed.
I do. I did enjoy that.
We'll see if the John Cusack love continues. What did you think about Gross Point Blank?
I liked Gross Point Blank. I think it's a super fun, cute movie. I know we've reviewed one, I think it was only one John Cusack movie. I like him. I never think of him as like a leading man.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, he's just not one that I ever think of on the list. But I thought he was super cute in this kind of a role. And it's just a fun, cute movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
It's not, it's not a classic. It's not a game changer. It's just a fun movie about a hitman that's having an existential crisis right before his high school reunion.
I feel like that's happened to every hitman on the planet. Like, at some point, you gotta just have a minor breakdown or a moment.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you're killing people for money.
Which sounds like a good gig, to be honest with you.
It does.
But it's gotta wear on you after a while.
I mean, maybe a little bit, depending on how in your feels you are.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know. It's up and down.
And you said last week, we talked about this just a little bit.
What did I say last week?
You did not have a high school reunion?
No.
Like, you only had, like, what, 5-6 kids in your class?
Well, 28 other kids. I was one of 29.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
I'll pump the brakes on my judgment.
No, so 3 years ago would have been our 10-year reunion.
Okay.
And I remember grumblings about it on a Facebook page, but apparently we're all very busy. The class of 2008 in Galeville, Alabama is very, very busy, so we could not get it together. So we never had a 10-year reunion.
Okay.
And I don't know whether I'm happy about that or sad about that, to be honest.
And you said, what, 2 years ago would have been the 10?
Three.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
I hate to tell you that this year would be my 25th high school reunion.
Oof!
Yeah.
Quarter of a century! Yeah,
if you could pass over some of that icy hot for my knees here. My achy
joints.
Look,
I've seen you stretching.
Yeah.
I've seen you plantars over there.
Yeah, no, never been to a high school reunion. The 10, the 20 didn't give two shits.
Okay, I was going to ask if it was because of traveling or if, well, you would have been back in North Dakota.
Oh, yeah, geez.
Did they have it at the Fargo Dome?
Probably.
Because you had a big class, right?
There's like, I think, 300 or 400 kids in my class.
Which is apparently the norm.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I always thought that was small.
Right.
You know, until like my dad, you know, he was like, I had like 5 kids in my whole school. I was like, that was like 100 years ago, Dad. And he's like, it was also in the middle of nowhere.
Did you walk up the hill upwards and upwards both ways?
No, see, I asked my dad that once, and he's like, no, we walked on the road that we carved out with ox. I was like, really? He's like, no.
Oxen.
Yeah. So that's whenever I do that to you, whenever you're like, oh, and then this thing happened, you're like, really? I'm like, no. I get that from my dad.
It's your dad.
My dad hit me with that constantly.
Well, look, you do him proud, so I can't be aggravated at you for
okay,
that one.
That's fair. That's fair. No, I never went to a high school reunion. I still to this day, one person from my graduating class I occasionally keep up with.
Wow.
That's it. Didn't care about them.
I can't say that I really keep up with any outside of Facebook.
Yeah.
I used to have one, and then after I moved to Huntsville, it's just so, we don't really keep up anymore.
Right?
Yeah.
Just, I mean, other than being.
And I remember graduating, it was going to be, oh, we're always going to be, like, we're such good friends. We're all going to keep up with each other. We told ourselves that. That was the lie that I held on to. And then after the summer, it was like, who? Who are these people?
Yeah. Man, I graduated and I said, I am going to forget most of you tomorrow. And well, I did.
Well, that was when Lily was sweet.
Oh.
That was before Lily had a Jack Spade streak in her.
Oh, I have ruined you or made you better, depending on the context.
I would say better.
When was the last time you unexpectedly ran into someone from high school?
Ooh, I don't know. I never really had that. I ran into somebody a grade lower than me, and I ran into them at the Dollar General. They were a cashier at the Dollar General.
Oh, they were working at the Dollar General.
They were working at the Dollar General, and I got up there, and it, of course, is when I was at the lake with my parents. I ran to go get something, no makeup on. I was greasy from sunscreen because I used that oil, and... like hair a mess, and I ran in there and I was like, oh great, maybe they won't remember me. And of course, because your gal was homecoming queen, of course I got remembered.
Hashtag humble brag.
And I was like, hey, what's up? And so, but they were super nice, but I was like, oh damn it.
Right on.
Yeah, that it was pleasant. It was super fine. Yeah, you're not running into anybody down here, are you?
No. It's usually if I ever end up going back to Fargo, mm-hmm. I'll eventually run into someone because it's still
right.
Ultimately a small town.
Yeah.
I think the last time was the time before, so probably about almost a year ago when I was back there, mm-hmm. I ran into someone from high school who I did not recognize. But they were just like, hey, Jack, what's up? I'm like, hey, how are you? And then just hoping that would have been it.
Right.
What are you doing now? Oh, just, you know, trying to get this taco. you know, just hoping to, oh, God, who the fuck are you? What is your name? I don't know.
How do I know you?
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, yeah, we went to high school together. Mm. And we didn't talk then. So why are we talking now?
Right.
Yeah. Whatever.
I don't want to get into that situation. You know, like where I don't know them or I really don't want to have to do the small talk. I don't know how much to ask. Do we talk? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to remember what you do. You're not going to remember what I do. After we leave, we'll probably never see each other again. So now I don't go back to the Dollar General or the Piggly Wiggly. My mom's like, go to the pig. I'm like, I'm not going to the pig. Because I'm going to run into somebody. I don't want to.
Oh, you know Jolene from your graduating class. You're like, if she minds her P's and Q's, she might be assistant manager of the pig.
Which there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
They're probably making more than we are, Jack.
I mean, that's also true. In situations like that, I do the George Clooney. When George Clooney is walking red carpets and stuff, and people are stopping him and asking questions and like this and that, he's always very diligent about like looking them in the eye, like, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. But he's always moving. And so he looks in your eyes as he's getting closer and then puts the hand on the shoulder. He's like, hey, good seeing you. And then just keeps walking. I'm a big fan of that move.
That's good.
Avoids all that awkward bullshit, especially when you don't know the person.
Right. That's a good move. What was it? Groundhog Day that he told the guy, like, I'd love to sit and I would sit and chat with you, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
But that is like, yep. I kind of want to adopt that
there you
in
go.
The future.
Yeah.
I feel like that's good and just keep going.
So having neither one of us, you having not had a high school reunion, me just not giving a shit,
right.
We didn't have to go back and tell people that we were professional killers.
Which I kind of would want to, because apparently nobody believed it. Like, nobody believed it in the movie until the guy got blood on his hands.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I mean...
Which is great.
It's a great, like, that was a great gag throughout the whole movie. Like, hey, yes. What have you been up to? Professional killer.
Uh-huh. Nobody even batted an eye. Everybody thought he was lying, and he was so serious. It was like, it was such a cry for help, I feel
right?
like. Like, I'm a professional killer. Blah, 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 you know?
Like, what I liked about this movie is that it was darkly funny.
Yes.
It wasn't, like, slap your knee, ha-ha funny.
No.
It's literally like looking through the lens of a dude who's having just like a complete mind fuck of like, what am I doing with my life
mm-hmm.
on top of having to go to a high school reunion, which if I were the type that would go to one of those, I would feel that, like I have to prove to people that I don't care about that. I'm something and that I'm somebody and,
right.
and brr.
Mm-hmm.
But it, like, I thought it did a really good job of still giving some laughs, but still having some good heartfelt moments.
Absolutely. I also like his character. He's not this crazy, like super, he's not like a Liam Neeson kind of guy.
Yeah. Do
you know what I mean? Like, he's a normal guy who just somehow wound up.
Uh-huh.
Through a series of events, he wound up just killing people for a living.
And you don't see too many of his jobs. You see a couple of them, but some of them are told through backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not really a get in there, get your hands dirty kind of guy. He's like, I'm going to, you know, get you from afar,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a good hitman should.
Right. I wanted to ask you about, so at the beginning, like he kind of has a couple of botched jobs. One thanks to Dan Aykroyd, and then the other one, which I didn't know I was going to get Dan Aykroyd in this movie. I didn't know he was in it.
Uh-huh.
And I love him as this hitman who has a union.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, is this how it works? He has this one contraption that I think this one kill that I think I've never seen before. Which is when he's trying to give the guy a heart attack.
Yeah.
Trying to make the guy look like he's going to have a heart attack. And he puts a thread down down from the ceiling and then pours liquid down it to go into the guy's mouth, which is supposed to give him a heart attack.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like that in my life.
That's pretty dope, though.
I was like, that's a great contraption. But again, I can understand why it failed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very situational. Very
right.
situational.
And I love the camera watching this guy sleep. And then he's, you know, he turns his head. Which
have
is
you
a mess.
Have you ever watched, there's an HBO documentary called The Iceman Tapes. You ever watched those?
I went to start that. It's in my queue, but I haven't finished it all the way.
Like, that's a good, because that dude was a hitman. And there's a movie where Michael Shannon plays him.
We've talked about that, and I like Michael Shannon. I think I started that as well, but I never did.
Never finished
it? You know,
it.
I get sidetracked, as you know, so.
What?
And somehow, I mean, sometimes I just don't get through movies. I mean, it's so weird, but sometimes I just don't watch movies that I intend to watch.
That's fair. he's got some great, tellings of tales about how he killed people, though. I was just like, that's fucking wild to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of those things where, I mean, even you and I sit here joke about it. We're like, man, I'd like to be a hitman sometime. But then you get to the actual, like, oh, I'm about to execute someone.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, this might be kind of tough.
Right. We still have that sense of morals about us, which I'm glad we do.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the person. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I always like, in this movie, I like Martin Blank's rationale. He's like, look, if I came to your door, there's something that brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
exactly.
That's a great, like, this is it. How I deal with it.
I love it. Absolutely. There's something that brought you there. And also, he's not just out killing people willy-nilly. I think at some point he's like, well, I do it for money. So it's all right.
Right.
You know, exactly.
I mean, we all do stuff every day that we hate that could probably be inadvertently killing people.
Correct.
You know, you work at McDonald's, you're feeding poison to people. You're slowly killing them for not a lot of money.
You ever seen what chicken nuggets look like before they're nuggets?
They're fucking nasty.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's never stopped me from eating a nugget. Let me just look you in the eye and tell you that. But every now and then I think about it and I'm like, still good. Can I get that sweet and sour sauce?
You know this is murder, right? I'm like, yeah, you know you put some Szechuan on that and murder is fucking delicious.
Murder, sometimes delicious.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Gross Point Blank?
Yeah, Gross Point Blank.
Let's chat about it, shall we?
So, Martin Blank is a hitman, like we said, who's going through a bit of a rough patch. He's got some clients that aren't happy because things have not gone as planned. He's also under pressure, like we said, to join a union from Mr. Grocer, which is Dan Aykroyd's character, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not a good time to join. He just doesn't want to be a part of the union. I love the thought of a union for a hitman. So, Dan Aykroyd as an assassin? Great.
With that flat top buzz cut?
With the flat top and the way he moves two guns at one time, like throughout the movie. Like, it's not like a John Wick type of thing.
No.
At all whatsoever. It's not good choreography. It's not great gun work, but it's like, I accept this because it seems like it's real.
There's no grace to it.
No,
very sloppy.
Not.
He's just like,
not.
I'm a psycho. Pop, pop, pop. You're dead. I'm out.
And I like how it's just so good. Anyways, he decides, along with the guidance, I love the therapist who is an unwilling therapist to Martin Blank.
Hell yeah.
Because Blank has told him finally his profession, and the therapist is like, I cannot deal with you. And he's super anxious. I love that. But he tells him he should go to his high school reunion at Grosse Pointe. So he decides to do that. It's either in or near Detroit, which is where he's supposed to kill a canary who's about to sing.
Yep.
Right? So, unfortunately, he goes and he's going to get set up by Mr. Grocer because Grocer was supposed to have that hit in Detroit and, you know, that. So he thinks that Blank took the hit from him, right? So he's going to set him up as a patsy. So Martin heads to Grosse Pointe. Poor old Martin. On a trip that's supposed to be relaxing to home, he finds his home is not there anymore. It's what? What is it? An Ultimar?
It's an Ultimar. Yeah,
Ultimar.
When he gets to town, he starts hitting some of the old spots.
Right.
He runs into like one of his old teachers.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to go home. And the teacher's like, are you now?
And I thought, why didn't you warn him, bitch? Come on.
Right?
Why couldn't you have just taken a moment to say, hey?
Yeah, you haven't been home for 10 years and you go to find that your childhood home has been raised and replaced by a convenience store.
And it's in a neighborhood. So, like, when you see the other side of the street, you see houses, but then you see this damn convenience store, the Ultimart, which is fantastic. So his house is gone, and I love him in there, like, I'm standing in my living room, and it's like aisle two. So his mother is also on lithium. She doesn't even know who he is. His father has passed away. And his old flame, Debbie, is a radio DJ and still mad at him for abandoning her at prom because he had to go to the army right then.
We gotta talk about old Debbie here.
We do need to talk about old Debbie.
Old DJ Debbie.
Right. She did her due diligence as a radio DJ.
You think so?
I think absolutely
You are on point with everything?
Were you?
For the most part.
First of all, I wish I was a radio DJ like Debbie, to be honest.
Okay.
Because she's got this soothing voice. It's very, it's Debbie on whatever, blah, 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 blah. I'm not that way. I'm very, blah, 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 Memorial Day, save your gas, blah, blah. Like, that's me. I'm not comforting at all on the radio.
Having heard your radio show and your radio stylings, I disagree with that.
Do you disagree?
I think you sound fine on the radio.
Well, thank you, but I'm definitely more abrupt than Debbie. Right? I would say.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, Debbie is very, very smooth. She's like if you're familiar with, I know you are because like you cater to a soccer mom demo, like a Delilah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I was more like that.
All right.
But your girl not. She doesn't have the ability to be. So I like her on the air. And I also, have you ever had a studio with a view?
No.
I don't know how I would love to have a studio with a view where you could look out a window, but this one in the movie is on Main Street. And basically people can walk by and see you and there's speakers outside. I don't think I would like that. It would be too much. I don't want people to watch me in the studio.
I can tell you this. The building that we're in now, before we moved into this building, we were in a bank.
Right.
And were you here for that at
all?
I was not here for
the bank, but I've heard a lot about the bank.
So the bank was pretty rad because, for one, it wasn't like we were a part of the bank. The bank left.
Right.
And we were it.
You had the bank building.
Right.
Yeah.
So we, like, our prize vault was literally a vault.
God, I love it so
much.
Which
was kind of dope.
Yes.
Here's what sucked about it, though. So, like, when I say I didn't have a view, I didn't have it because they had, though, you know those, like, two-way mirrors where the tint, so you can see out, but they can't see in?
Correct.
The numbnuts reversed it.
Oh, no.
And I was on at night. So when the lights are on, mm-hmm. like you can see in clear as day. I can't see out. And we were right across the street from a bar.
I don't like
so
that.
So every night there would just be random drunks just like, what's this dude doing on radio? Hey, what are you doing? And I can't see them.
Right.
But I just hear like, brum, brum, brum. Ah!
That is god awful.
Occasionally, just like the vaguest, thinnest impression of a boob pressed against the other side of the window.
Well, that's nice.
I mean,
it could have been attached to an ugly chick. You don't know.
That's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of the raw reverse two-way window.
Yeah. It's like them listening to me on the radio. They don't know I'm a bridge troll.
No, you're not a bridge troll. Stop it.
But yes, whenever radio is portrayed in film or TV mm-hmm. for that matter, mm-hmm. I think radio people get very critical.
What year? This was in the 90s, correct?
98.
98? Why is she still playing vinyl? That was my first question.
Because it was an 80s rewind all vinyl weekend.
Oh, well, I knew it was all 80s. Okay, it was the vinyl weekend. Okay, yeah. Oops, I missed that part of the imaging. Might be. I was like, where's your carts and your CDs? What's happening?
I mean, like, still theater of the mind. Like, you don't actually have to play vinyl.
Right. Correct.
Like.
But that's okay.
But whatever.
She did it anyway.
It's authentic. Yeah. She committed to the bit.
And when Martin goes, also, there's no security in this radio station, by the way. He just walks right in.
Oh, yeah.
Walks right into the studio. I'm like, that's a little scary.
That's super sketch.
If you've seen some of the people who've come in here, some of the crazy people, mm-hmm. since we have a crack motel next to us, you would be alarmed as well.
I can tell you, having done radio in other towns, it's like that everywhere.
We had, and
it's mostly for female talent. I know you get this a lot too, mm-hmm. but even when I was back in North Dakota, we would get daily, hey, I just wanted to drop off this pizza for the afternoon girl. And mm-hmm. And she just come up and go, oh, thank you, that's so nice, and then eat the pizza. I'm like, are you fucking insane?
No, unless I just knew them, right. It's still kind of leery.
Yeah,
food coming uh-huh. in, you know?
100%. I just walking in the studio when there's an on-air light on, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that rule number one, don't do that. I had a salesperson do that to me the other day. I was very angry. Just because I'm an angry person in general now.
Also true, yeah.
Yeah, true. So he goes in the studio to visit her because we learn earlier that, like, she's the one that got away. He left her, but he has dreams about her all the time. So there's still...
And to her credit, she doesn't get shaken on the air. She does it like a pro.
She does pretty well, very well. And then she decides, like every good radio DJ, she's like, I'm going to turn this into a bit.
Yep.
I'm going to make this content. And I was like, fuck yeah, lady, you know what you're doing. And she basically tells their story on air and has callers... Call in to give their opinion on whether she should give this guy a second chance after he abandoned her at prom.
My note on this is I am very impressed that she can still continue to speak when someone else walks in the room, because for some reason, mm-mm, radio people can't do that.
Nope.
I don't understand it.
No, I can't. I get lost, which is weird. It's like, if I'm talking in front of people, I can talk in front of people. But if I'm talking by myself and somebody enters, no, can't do it.
You do that to me all the time while I'm in the studio recording my show or whatever, and then you don't realize I'm recording, and I just continue to do what I'm doing, and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, well, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's fine. But not everyone else is like, could you, like, go in the other room while I say this thing? I'm like that. You're like, why?
Okay. You're about to insult that person. You could do it. I'm the same way.
No, I was just going to say it's like the radio version of being pee shy for a dude. Like, you can't just, like, pee in front of someone.
Mm-hmm. Stage fright.
It's like...
Well, I think I can do it, but I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. So I don't want somebody to see my mess up. I overthink it. Mm. That's my fault. It's my fault.
Be better.
But then I can... fuck you, you mutt. But if I'm talking in front of a stage of people, then I can do that. It's no problem. I don't know what it is about one person just entering. It's like, if I'm in the studio, it's alone time. You're not supposed to be here.
Just don't look at me.
You're judging me. Now, granted, what I say is going to go out on the air to thousands of people.
Right, that's exactly it.
Exactly. So what does this person walking in, why do I care about their judgment? But since I can see their face, I care about their judgment.
Don't look at me while I'm creating my art.
Since that sounds pretentious, I'm putting it at the beginning.
Don't look at me while I'm doing my Things That Anger Leanne segment.
I'm in creation mode.
You kind of just fell into radio.
I did. Yeah. I just needed a job, man.
Right? Well, you got in on the, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. You kind of fell into the on-air side of stuff.
Yes. I started in sales because I needed a job, and luckily I did good in an interview. And then I was terrible at sales, and then they started moving me around, and I really loved production. So I did that, and then somebody needed a fill-in one day, and they were like, hey, let's put Leanne on. Let's see what Leanne does. And I did pretty well.
And a star was born.
And a star was born and was like, nah, we're going to dim a bit. And then that's where I've stayed.
And now you're recording the third best Huntsville-based podcast in Huntsville, Alabama.
According to our data.
According to our data, you are failing upwards.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Hell so yeah. I stumbled into radio for sure.
All right.
You know, I didn't have dreams of being a radio DJ. At all.
But. And here you are crushing it.
But the funny thing is, I don't know about that, but thank you. Ratings were not bad for me. I will say that.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
I do remember in college, so my major was public relations. And I was like, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like, I just picked PR because I ran out of hours. And I was like, oh, I can finish this in 4 years. That's great. And I remember telling people, well, you know, if I can just get something where I can talk for a living, that's great. I can definitely do that. That was always my joke. And then I ended up in radio.
And here you are.
Yeah. So it kind of worked out, you know?
I got a public relations degree and I hate the public.
I didn't then. To my defense, I didn't then. And now I do.
Then Jack Spade opened my eyes and I'm like, oh, geez, just a bunch of monkeypox carrying fucks.
Oh, my God. Fucking monkeypox. Man, I don't even read about it. I was like, I will not entertain monkeypox. I hope to God I don't get it.
Yeah. Ugh. Welcome to our radio podcast about Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I love her... putting that into content. That's what we do. We uh-huh. take things out of our lives, we revamp them a bit, or we find something and we revamp them a bit, and then we put them on there. The only thing that I didn't care for that she did was she, I don't know about you, I don't take a live caller. Like, I won't do it because there's always a phone delay. You don't know what somebody's going to say. You have to clean it up a little bit. So, like, when she would take live callers, I was like, oh, God, this is going to be terrible.
Things were like that in the 90s, though. Radio in the late 90s was like that, because that's about the time I was getting into radio.
Right.
And so I was just like, yeah, like, as soon as the phone lit up, I'm like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to turn this into a thing and do the stuff.
Which is great.
Man, when Jack Spade was young and bright-eyed and optimistic. Whew. My, how the mighty have fallen.
Do you remember anything you did on air that got, like, the most reaction?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
A lot of things. Like, I had a dude that would just randomly call me up. This is when I first started out in radio. He called everybody, but he was just this drunk Native American dude. He called himself Chief Dog.
Oh, yeah.
And he would call every night. Every night I was on the air. Like, when I first started, they put me on Friday nights, midnight to 3. I was like 16 years old, 17 years old, just doing this midnight to 3 shift. And this dude goes, hey, it's Chief Dog. Would you play me some DJ Quick? I'm like, all right, man, I'll get you some DJ Quick on. He's like, hey, cousin, listen to this. And just take a big old bong rip. I'm like, yep, I'm going to do that.
Yep.
I think the thing that I got the biggest reaction out of, that still to this day, 22 years later in Huntsville, people still ask me about. Have I ever told you about the time I quote-unquote got suspended?
No.
So I'm gonna,
I don't
I'm
think
gonna,
so.
I'm going to peel back some radio layers. You're going to get some inside baseball here, good listener.
Okay.
So when I first was hired here to come down here, when the radio station first went on the air, I came from Fargo, and they wanted to call me Fargo.
That you was were 19 at the time,
I was 19,
you?
Yeah. And that was going to be my on-air name, and I hated it.
Yeah.
I wanted to get out of that town. I didn't want to be reminded of that town every time I opened the mic. So I'm like, whatever, it's getting me out of town. It's my first outside of Fargo radio job. Like, whatever. I dealt with it. So, I don't know, like 3 months, 4 months later, our GM was like, hey, man, how are things going? I'm like, oh, everything's great. You know, station's great. People are great. I love the town. I hate my fucking name, though. And he's like, yeah, like I could tell, like, you're not a big fan of it. You know, you're not embracing it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were to change it, how would you change it? And I'm like, I'll tell you exactly how. I'm going to be leaving town in a month because I got to go back to town for a wedding. I want you to have the general manager cut a promo that say, we apologize for what Fargo said on the air Friday night. He is currently being suspended. His contract is under review. We apologize if he offended anyone. And just run that. And he's like, well, what did you say? I'm like, nothing. Nothing, bro.
God. Nothing. I already love this so much.
And then don't tell anyone. Like, when people call the station, be like, where's Fargo? What did he say? What did he do? Like, we can't talk about it. That's going to be like, and this is, other people have done this. Like, I'm not, I ripped this off from someone else who did it in
but
Fargo.
Still.
It's like, that's what radio is. It's
that's what we do.
It's creative borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like that.
And I did it. And, like, I had to get everyone on board with it. I had to get our immediate boss on board, our general manager, our owner, because none of them saw the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I guarantee you, by Monday, everyone's going to be talking about this. And then I'll just come back, and I'm going to use Jack Spade, and I'll just say, like, I have to use this name because I can't use the F word anymore. Like, that was the hook, right?
Yes.
And so... Saturday morning is my flight, and that's also when the promo started running.
Okay.
And I turn my phone off. I get off the plane. I turn my phone on. I had like 97 voicemails.
Yes.
Three or four of them were from my boss. He's like, dude, my phone started blowing up. We have the Huntsville Times calling our owner wanting to. I'm like, I rest my case.
Absolutely.
And then all weekend long, it was like this. Had I been in town, it would have been even better. I would have been given, like, bullshit interviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been wrongly accused. This smear campaign will not last. I will be righted.
This will not stand.
This aggression will not stand, man. So I finally came back to town a couple days later. Or over the weekend, whatever, I get back on the air, and the phones didn't stop ringing all night. Mm-hmm. Again, the Huntsville Times dude was calling me up, wondering if I could sit down for an interview, and I'm like, sure, bro. He's like, so what did you say? I'm like, well, part of my reinstatement is I can't really talk about it. I did like, look, sometimes things happen. Like,
it was an interview about nothing.
It was literally an interview about nothing. That Thursday night, we would always host these events at one of the bars downtown. I went out there, was accosted. Like, what did you do? Holy shit. Even like people who knew me, who were like my inner circle. Like,
right.
What did you do?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it, bro.
So good.
And so fast forward 20 years later, I now come, actually this would have been 18 years later, I come back to Huntsville. Mm-hmm. I move back here. I start working at the radio station again. The very first public appearance that I was at was a Godsmack concert. It was our radio station's 18th birthday party, and we had Godsmack and Shinedown in town, and so we were doing a Facebook live video from the stage. We're doing stage announcements, and I was running it, and I was like, hey guys, what's up? It's Jack Spade. I'm back on the Rocket. It's great to be back. You know, we got everyone here doing the thing.
Right.
And so,
remember that.
And so someone in the comments, and you can still go find this on our Facebook page, someone in the comments were like, holy shit, isn't that Jack Spade? I thought he got fired 20 years ago for telling everyone on the Memorial Parkway that they're fucking retarded idiots and they can't drive for shit. The person right below that said, no, he said this. And then like 18 years later.
That is amazing. First of all, you never said a word.
Uh-uh.
They came up with that. While that does sound like you, it's not you. And 20 years later.
And so now.
That's freaking amazing, dude.
Now I'm at the point, again, peeling back the curtain. If anyone asks me that, I always tell them something different. I've told people that
you're now the statute of limitations is gone, and you can tell them what you said now.
Well, yeah, and that's how the urban legend grows, because right. Like I heard it from Jack Spade himself,
right.
That he was having phone sex with his girlfriend at the time, and he accidentally broadcast it over the air. No. I heard he was doing mandatory Metallica, and he accidentally sat on his nuts, and he said, "Oh, fucking Metallica, suck my nuts." All different stories that keep the legend going.
I love it. You're a fucking legend, bro. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Power of radio. If we just had time to do that shit,
right?
Yeah.
Fuck, you want to talk about the power of radio recently?
Oh my god, this was great.
Our morning show. So we had someone that came into the studio overnight, probably our engineer, who had muddy fucking shoes and tracked mud all over the radio station.
Fucker.
Our morning show host was just like, goddamn Jack Spade, he was the last one in here. He had fucking muddy boots. He had muddy feet. He tracked mud all over, which I did not.
You did not.
But it turned into a 3-day bit to the point where people in Huntsville now are like I saw people at, we had Dave Matthews in concert at our Orion Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
People coming up to me, hey, are your shoes clean? I'm like, fuck you.
You will always be mud tracker guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went from like, what did he say on the radio 20 years ago to, hey, clean your fucking boots. The power of a dying medium.
It's so sad. That one stung. That one hit me where I live. As Jack Spade would say. Oh, fuck, man. That's amazing. I've never had anything that good happen to me, but maybe one day.
Yet.
If I keep listening to you, it will.
Shit. Yeah, stick with me long enough, you'll be farting through silk.
I love and hate that expression. Because I don't want to, you know?
You say that, but try it. So delightful.
God almighty. Gross Point Blank?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that.
We were talking about a movie. So we have the radio bit, but luckily, you know, John Cusack, he's a good-looking fella. I like his all-black suit look.
It's a good look.
It's a good look, and he's able to woo the girl anyway.
That is how I would dress as a hitman.
Well, I I meant to mention this earlier, and I'm glad we got on this. The all black suit from the beginning, I was like, that's superb.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I feel like you should always wear a suit. If you're going to take a life, you need to wear a suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Black on black, I like it.
Black on black. Yes, absolutely. So she gives him a chance. They have this nice little cute little reconnection, him sneaking up to her bedroom, all that kind of fun stuff. And then they go to the high school reunion together. He takes her to the reunion.
Yeah, and of course, along the way, he runs into old friends, like old people from high school.
Yes.
And one of them is a realtor, because of course.
Because of course.
Everyone, you run, Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven, who's, I think, great for a realtor to come back to his hometown.
Right.
In his BMW and shit, you know, trying to sell houses. Yeah.
Yep. The last time we saw him on this podcast was The Goods.
Yes.
Fucking
yes.
Love that movie.
Selling cars, baby.
Like Jeremy Piven in most movies, even though by all accounts he's a trash human being.
He's a total dickhead.
Yeah.
Anything I read about him, he's a total asshole.
But
that's why he's able to play the characters he plays,
maybe? Because he's not really acting?
No, he's just being a dick on set.
Yeah.
Who memorized their lines.
The few people that I've run into, you know, over the years in Fargo from high school, it's realtor, it's insurance salesman, mm-hmm. it's all these things.
Right.
You,
and lawyer, and then they try to, like, tell you about what they do, and then they also cut you a deal for their services.
Right.
Like, it's also, like, high school reunions, I feel, are probably like this one turned out to be, which is where you've got all these people and they're like, oh, I'll cut you a deal if you ever need this. Or, oh, it's like a networking meeting.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I'm like, fuck it, I don't care. Just, you know, I feel like that would be shitty.
And it's even worse in a small town.
Yeah.
Because when you're in a small town like Fargo was, mm-hmm. Where I went to high school, and then you get to that age where you're like, you're doing business.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of people like doing the business networking thing, doing this, doing that. I saw a lot of people I went to high school with when I was DJing at a strip club.
Were they happy about that or not?
A lot of the dudes that would come up to me were like, oh shit, man, I went to high school with you. This is what you're doing. It's fucking awesome. I'm like, yeah, it's great.
It's not though.
You know, making money, like whatever you want to think this is, you go ahead and think this is.
The
creepiest one was when, my high school gym teacher came into the strip club.
That would be rough to have a teacher in a strip club environment.
Laying some moves down on some strippers. I'm like, oof. Oh.
No.
You
didn't need that.
You
drop and give me 20.
You
Stop
taught me
it.
How proper form for a push-up. And now you're trying to push up on some stripper.
Ayo.
Come on.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yeah, it was
I would not want to catch anybody I knew at a strip club.
Kind of gross.
That's kind of grody.
Yeah.
I whenever I have people who ask me what I do and I tell them I work in radio, they're like, oh, you get to meet famous people. Like, it must be a fun job. And I have to fake it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, well, you know, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, I can't make rent, but that's great.
Right, yeah.
It's awesome. I'm doing great. Yeah.
I always keep the illusion going, mm-hmm. until they eventually hit me with, anyone could do that.
Right.
And then it's like, put a microphone in their face and watch them turn into just a stuttering fucking mutt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared. I'm like, oh, but you said you could do this.
Yeah.
Fucking do it.
That's the thing. We talked about the people coming into the studio, but if you put me on the spot, I feel like I'm ready to go. Like,
yeah.
I can do it. You know, it comes up naturally. To the one benefit we will give ourselves.
Right.
That I'll give myself, yeah.
I know that I very consciously do this. If I'm out in public, I'm a very look at the ground, have a baseball hat on, like tuck the hat down. Just
don't make me perform.
Right, yeah.
I can if I need to,
yep.
But don't make me.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
When if it's just you and me talking, it's just like... Yeah, and then anyway, I went and I did the thing, and I fucking whatever. It's like, oh, do you know Jack Spade from The Rocket? Oh, hey, what's up, man? How are you? What do you do? Like, how's your life going? Are you doing
right.
Well? You do great, man. What do you like about the station, man? Oh, fucking great, awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, man, I love Metallica too. I don't care if James Hetfield's a fucking alcoholic hypocrite. I don't give a fuck. Make them feel awesome and then turn around and be like, oh, God,
damn, I hate when my parents tell people that I work in radio.
Yeah.
Because it's unnecessary. Like, right? If you're introducing me, it's like you wouldn't say, hey, this is my daughter, the plumber, which the plumber, great profession. But it's irrelevant. Like, it's unless that person asks me, what do you do? Like, you don't have to volunteer that information up if it's a very brief meeting.
Yeah.
Then people think, oh, the radio. And it's like, God damn it. Ugh. I'm mad at everything. Like, don't ask me. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm like, stop telling people what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Stop offering up the information. If they ask, I will tell them.
I always now at this point, I will redirect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's great. It's a fun time. But what do you do? What are you into? Like, what do you do when you're not working? That's what I want to know. Because, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I know 1,000 insurance people. Like,
right.
What is it that makes you different? What do you like to do in your off time?
Correct.
What, you know, just, like, keep them talking about them because I'm tired of talking
about me. I don't want to talk about me anymore.
Except on this podcast, and it's all about us.
It's all about us. It's been all about us today.
We should have just done a radio movie.
We should have. We need to get we need to get one of those in.
Put that
on the list.
There's quite a few.
Okay.
There's a lot.
All right. So we are now at the high school reunion. Things are going great. Martin and Debbie, they've danced. They snuck off to the nurse's station. Hi-yo.
Before this happens, we need to talk quickly about some of the other goings on, because there are now other hitmen in Gross Point.
Yes.
Dan Aykroyd's character has come in. He's sent in. There's another dude after him.
I don't remember his name, but there's one assassin after him, and then two other guys that have basically just been following Martin. We end up finding out who they are. Their government.
Uh-huh.
We find that out a little bit later, but basically the thing is that somebody is about to make a... I don't even remember what the case was, but they're going to testify. And somebody high up does not want this person to testify. So that's why they're being killed. So basically, when Martin does his job killing this guy, the government's going to swoop in and they're going to kill Martin. That's how this is supposed to go.
And then it turns out the other hitman is in town because one of Martin's botched jobs resulted in the death of the guy's dog.
Yes.
And now he has hired a hitman to go kill this hitman.
Right. So we have three people after Martin that also the hitman over the dog end up blowing up the Ultimart.
Yep.
You know, at one point, because they have a fight in there.
To the soundtrack of Ace of Spades, which was great.
I thought, because I was going to say it, if you weren't going to say it, I thought you were going to do the 8th of May.
The 8th of May. The 8th of May.
That still tickles me. I can't. It's forever just with Ace of Spades. If I hear Motorhead, like the other day I had a playlist going and Ace of Spades came on, I was like, the 8th of May. The 8th of May. It murders me every time. It's just in there. It's canon, bitch.
Love it.
So he's got those three guys following him around. And at the reunion, we're having a good time until Martin goes to check out his old locker. And then here comes that hitman over the dog. And this is where we have, like, our probably most graphic scene. We have our fight in the hallway.
A lot of knees, a lot of elbows.
A lot of elbows.
That's good fighting right there.
A lot of street karate. And finally, Martin is able to get this guy a pen in the jugular.
Yeah, earlier when he's mingling with his people at the...
Who was it that gave him the pen?
It was like an insurance guy, wasn't
okay.
it?
Okay.
He's like, oh, no, we give the top clients this pen. Which is a total fucking insurance guy. Like, I can't tell you how many networking events that I've gone to where it's like, oh, I got this pen and that pen. It's like, y'all have the same pen guy.
Yep, the same pen guy. So he gets this guy, wins the fight. Also, I think I made a note at one point during the fight. I was like, John Cusack got too sweaty too fast in the fight.
Yeah.
I'm like, they pieced that together. They worked on that a while because he's sweaty instantly.
I didn't even catch that. But maybe to his credit, I'm a dude that gets sweaty instantly.
I mean, I'll sweat. You know, ain't nothing wrong with it. It's like, what your body want to do.
If I throw a couple combos, I'm drenched.
Also, you're in a suit.
Yep.
So it's not like it's breathable fabric.
You're already nervous. You're already hyperventilating. You're already probably having some problems.
Absolutely.
You just fired your therapist.
Correct. Yes, he did do that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, absolutely. It's a sweaty environment here, for sure. And when he kills this guy with a pen, he's standing over the body or kind of over the body when Debbie finds him.
Uh-oh.
So now, after they've had their fun moment, she sees him over a dead body with blood everywhere.
And he has literally told her that he is a professional killer.
He didn't lie. God love him, he didn't lie.
He told everybody. He told Debbie's dad.
Your refusal of the truth is not my problem.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I feel that on a shirt.
That's a lot for people to read on a shirt.
That's true.
That's also not your problem.
Right.
It's their problem. They should fucking read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I like it.
Be a fast reader. Yeah. Or sit down, you dummy.
Yeah, put that on a shirt.
Put that one on a shirt. So when she sees this, she freaks out. And then we proceed to have perhaps my second favorite scene in the movie, perhaps, or my favorite scene, because, you know, she runs off, and then Paul is Jeremy Piven's character, correct? So Paul comes up, and poor Paul, you know, he's probably never seen this in his real estate career, and he has to be the one to help Martin get this body out of there, and I love them wrapping him up in the banners.
Yeah,
I thought that was so great, and like, kudos to Paul. Like, let's, you know, he just went into helpful friend mode. Wrapped this body up.
Didn't run.
He didn't turn stall.
Bitch. Nope.
He didn't freak out. Like, he just went into mode. And I literally thought, I'm like, you know what? If I caught Jack Spade trying to get rid of a body, I would be a Paul.
I
would.
Like, hell yeah.
Other people I might question, but I'm like, I know for certain, I feel for certain, that if Jack Spade, maybe a couple others in my life, if I saw them working with a dead body, I'd be like, I don't care who's at fault here. We got to get this guy out of here.
That's what's up.
I'm your dead body gal.
I will return that favor.
Don't you fret. I got your back, man.
you ever see the Ben Affleck movie, The Town?
No.
There's a great line in that, though. It doesn't spoil anything. But I think it fits here. Like, Ben Affleck walks in. He talks to Jeremy Renner's character, and he's like, hey, I need you to come with me. I don't care. He's like, I need you to come with me. We're going to hurt a bunch of people, and you can never talk to me about it again, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then a camera cuts over to Jeremy Renner, and he's just like, whose car are we going to take? I was like, yeah.
That shit is legit.
That's real friend shit right there.
That's real friend shit right there. Mm-hmm. I fucking love it. So they wrap this guy up, and they take him down to the incinerator. Every high school have it? This was a big ass high school, by the way. This is a big fucking building. Did every high school have an incinerator? Because I've never heard of this before.
I assume that ours probably did. Like, we had a pretty good size high school.
Okay.
It had a hockey arena attached to it.
I just learned a hockey arena.
Yeah.
No shit.
A lot of hockey up north.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Ice. It's cold.
Yeah.
Ice keeps well in a cold environment. I don't know if you know that.
It sure does.
But it
there.
Do. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what they teach you.
Oh, geez.
We had a basketball court, and we had a flat part of the, and we just made that into a football field. We're like, that's flat enough. Let's just do this one. Yeah.
Yeah, we had an auditorium. We had a theater.
Oh, shit balls.
I drove by it the last time I was in town. It's like they keep adding on to it.
I had Spanish in a trailer. Let me rephrase that.
Yep, do it.
I had Spanish in a gutted out single wide trailer.
How do you say that in Spanish?
El trasho de huito. El trasho de redneco.
That's the Tinder profile.
It had no air conditioning, by the way.
Whoa.
I don't think it did. We had like a box fan.
And how many kids were in that class?
Well, they split us up at one point because some people had an advanced diploma and some people had a standard diploma, which I found out the advanced diploma is just a regular fucking diploma. I was like, oh, I'm taking advanced classes. I was not. I was just taking the standard, and the other one was like, hey, this will get you into trade school. Had no fucking clue.
You got to go to the trailer if you want to learn that newfangled Spanish.
So there was probably about 13 of us in there.
In just a hot single-wide trailer in Georgia.
In a single-wide trailer. And we had, this was after lunch, and we had a kid. His name was Damien. Okay, and he would fucking just let them rip during the, okay? And they were the worst.
You can't hotbox in the trailer.
He did. And like we had both, like there was one door. I'm sure you've been in a trailer before. There's one door over here.
Ouch.
There's one door back over. No. I just meant
that
when you're
stripper. That felt like a personal attack.
No, I just meant it because of your stripper friends.
Oh,
your
okay.
stripper gals. I figured you've certainly followed a stripper back to a trailer.
I can't deny that. Shit.
So both doors are open. We have a box fan, but I swear to God, it would roll through once and then it would roll back through again. And it was the fucking worst. It was bad. But yeah, that was my Spanish career.
Wow. There's just something so awesome. I took Spanish in a trailer.
Hey, man. That's what I had. Hey, man. That's why I learned El Burro Sabe Más Que Tú. That's the only thing I got. A donkey knows more than you. That's the only thing I got. But for Spanish 2, I had a classroom.
Well, they move you up.
I got moved up. But that first Spanish class, trailer.
Hey, welcome to this trailer. This is what Mexico is like. Now we'll move you up to a classroom, and this is like Mexico City. This is the resort. You move your way up.
We went from a village to the resort.
You buy some street weed from the local merchants. You get rolled in the back alley. And then you get up to a classroom where everything is all-inclusive.
Yep. That's how that worked.
God damn it.
Fucking crazy, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. American education, baby.
Woo! But now they've added on buildings, and like they're the metal, like full metal buildings, like a big, like a shop would be to me. You know, it's just full metal buildings that they've added. So I don't know if they have classes in there or not, that I haven't been in them.
God, but I would love it if they kept the trailer, but they just put like one of those roll up hallways, like at the airport to the airport to the plane. And they just connected that to the building, put a little caulking in the middle.
That would be fucking amazing. Yep.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that would be nice for old Galeville High School. God damn it. Oh, those trailer days. What a fun time.
Ooh.
Just a single wide full of desks and a teacher desk, you know?
I'm going to tell you right now, the next time I hear someone openly speaking Spanish in public, in my head, I'm just going to go, I took Spanish in a trailer. And I'm going to laugh out loud. And people are going to be like, who is this fucking weirdo just laughing out loud? What the fuck?
Well, he's just thinking of his white trash friend.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway. So, Gross Point Blank?
Yeah.
Gross Point Blank. So... anyways, they incinerate this guy, and I love when they walk back to the bar after the party. Also, people are drunk, some people are passed out, and how disheveled they look after what they've done up to the bar. I love that little moment.
Yeah, you've got Martin, who's exhausted from this fight.
Yes.
And you've got Paul, who's kind of shell-shocked by what he has just done.
Uh-huh.
And they both just like, they get their drinks.
Right.
And I like Paul's reaction. He's like, hey, what do you do? Like going back to that old, like, because
finally clicks.
He asked him in the beginning, you know, like when
they first reconnected,
he's like, I freaked out. I joined the army. I'm a professional killer.
Yep.
Because, like, we get that whole story, too, that Martin stood up Debbie on prom night because he kind of freaked out. He joined the military. He fit a certain psychological profile
yes.
They made him a government assassin. He didn't like it. He went into business for himself.
Exactly. He wasn't getting treated right, killing it for the government, so he decided to do it on his own terms.
I also love it when he goes and he picks up Debbie and he says hi to the dad.
Yeah.
And the dad's like, what do you do? He's like, oh, professional killer. He's like, well, it's a growth industry.
Yep. So we have that. Also, Debbie at one point goes back to him at the hotel and she kind of realizes he wasn't joking. And he's like, I kill people for money. They, like we said earlier, something brought them to my door or brought me to their door, things like that. But he ends up losing Debbie. She's not going to be with a professional killer. I don't understand, but apparently that's a bugaboo for her.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
It's a thing for her. So this is where we kind of have we get some luck here. Martin finally decides to read the dossier, which made me think of Archer, because on the show Archer, he never reads the dossier, right? And he finally sits there and looks at who he's supposed to kill in Detroit. And thank goodness, it's actually Debbie's dad.
Dumb fucking luck.
Dumb fucking luck. Debbie's dad is the canary that doesn't need to sing. So this is where he can swoop in and save the day.
Good guy, Marty.
Good guy, Marty. So he goes and he saves the dad's life. The dad's jogging. And I love this because I feel like this is so obvious, but the dad's jogging down the street, right? And there's a van up ahead, and the door's just wide open with Dan Aykroyd and a sniper rifle or whatever. Like, did you not see that from your jog?
I mean, even if it wasn't that obvious, if I'm out for a stroll and I see a van, I'm going the other fucking way.
Exactly. Vans are alarming. We've been taught that vans are alarming. They're either killers or they're child molesters. Either way, somebody you don't want to tangle with.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're there to fix your plumbing. It could go either way.
Some sketchy shit that I want to be no part of.
Exactly. So before Dan Aykroyd can get the shot, Martin swoops in, saves him, takes him back to the house. And I like this. I love this, how they did this, because everybody converges on the house. He's trying to save the dad and Debbie. And we're just two gun in it. I love two-handed gun action.
Yeah?
I love two guns, you know?
Oh, man, you're going to love some John Woo movies.
Okay. And it's not graceful. Like, I feel like there's probably more graceful choreography in other movies, but I still like it. I'm like, pow, 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 pow. So we're, you know, Martin's trying to save their life. They're shooting back and forth. He's shooting the bad guys. But during this, he professes his love to Debbie, which I think is so great, but my standards could also be low. I don't know.
I mean, you did take Spanish in a trailer.
I took Spanish in a trailer. I am not a high-quality gal. Unfortunately.
Oh.
So he, like, takes out some guys, and then he tells her how much he loves her, and then he takes out more guys, and then they hide him in the bathroom, and basically he ends up at kind of like a mano y mano, which is incorrect usage of the term, and I did that on purpose for Jack Spade.
Son of a bitch.
He has his standoff with Dan Aykroyd, who throughout this time, also we need to talk about, well, we don't need to talk about it, but the scene where they're at the diner when Dan Aykroyd confronts that, I love that because they're trying to keep eye contact with each other. They both have weapons that they're trying to hide, you know, and they're trying to lower them at the same time and just talk. And it always goes back to the union. All Dan Aykroyd wants is for Martin to join the union. If he joined the union, it would just stop.
Yep.
Which I think is great.
And my favorite thing about that whole scene is when the waitress comes up and she's asking him what they want for breakfast. And he's just like, I just want a egg white omelet. Well, what do you want? Just the egg whites.
Just the
egg
whites.
Well, that's not an omelet. He's like, I don't want to get into semantics. I just want the protein.
Yep. I was like, that's so good.
Yeah.
So even in this exchange, he's like, I will stop if you will just join my union. And Martin won't do it. The CIA guys come in, and I love them both. Like, Dan Aykroyd has spent this time with these CIA agents, and his joy on his face shooting these guys. Like, they get rid of the CIA guys, and then Martin ends up killing Dan Aykroyd, or Mr. Grocer, with a TV.
Yeah.
Not a flat TV.
Like, no, we those weren't out yet.
Those weren't out yet. We're talking about, like, in Scream,
the
right?
Big the tube TVs.
With the fat back, the heavy fucking TVs.
And yeah. I like how he catches them with it, too, because they are on opposite sides of, like, a kitchen
like a
table.
Like
yeah,
a
like
kitchen
bar.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin's out of ammo. He's like, I'll sell you a clip for 100 Gs. He's like, that's a deal.
Yes.
And then he throws the clip thinking that he's going to go for it, and he just smashes him over the head with the TV.
It's so damn good. God, those TVs, I don't know why that makes me super nostalgic.
Yeah.
Those kinds of TVs, you know? I remember how heavy they were.
Fuck yeah.
God, they were so heavy. I remember we had two of them on the arms. And back then, the arms didn't attach to the back of your TV. There wasn't a way to. It was just a shelf that came out, right?
Right.
You had to have the straps to tie it up. And I was like, there was one I wouldn't touch because I was like, that fucker's going to fall on me because it was so heavy. Miss old TVs. I don't know why, but I do.
All right.
Just a thing. Just jot it down if you want to.
I had the biggest tube television that you could buy at the time, and that fucking thing weighed, no exaggeration, at least 400
yeah.
pounds.
Yeah. My grandmother had one.
Yeah?
It was insane.
God.
I remember them trying to get rid of that thing, and I was like, oh, shit, this is quite a conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a mess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the tube went out on that thing, I was like, I'm going to get rid of this thing. And my dad was like, well, I'll fix it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, no, Dad, I don't want to take it over to your house.
Right, no.
Like, it's just let it go.
Mm-mm.
He's like, no, it's a good-looking TV. Like,
Let's smash it.
I'm like, Dad, no.
Let's get it the fuck out of here.
So we got the TV over to my dad's house.
Correct. Yep. Dad wins.
He never fixed it.
He never did?
No.
Damn.
Just one of those things. Because, like, flat screens were a thing at that time.
Right.
Or projection TVs, so they were at least, they didn't weigh as much, mm-hmm. you know, like the LCD screens or whatever.
Right.
I was like, Dad, I'll just buy you one of those. How about that? Like, is that fair trade?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can just kill this thing?
Yep.
You're like, yeah, okay.
Very good. So he gets rid of Mr. Grocer, and then he goes back up to the bathroom where he has hid Debbie and her dad, and he finds this to be the perfect time to ask her to marry him. You don't have to answer now, but will you marry me?
And of course, the dad is like, well, you have my blessing.
And I was like, that is the cherry on top
yeah.
of that. That was so good, because the dad could not be bothered with this motherfucker at the beginning, and now gives his blessing, right? So gives his blessing, and he doesn't join the union. He lets go of his hitman career. Also, we need to acknowledge, I think this was my favorite, his sister,
Joan Cusack.
Joan Cusack is his secretary.
Yep.
She was great.
She was awesome.
That was an awesome character. And I think my favorite part, I think the time I probably laughed the most was when she is destroying the office.
Yep.
And she, first of all, I love how she is with him, and then she's completely different when she's on the phone and talking about ammo and things. Like, she's so aggressive, and then she calms down with Martin. But when she's destroying the office, she's got a cigarette in her mouth and she's pouring gasoline all over everything. Then she just stops and she takes like a hammer or whatever. She just starts pounding away at computers. I was like, that looks like me destroying an office. Like, that's how
it would go.
Absolutely. You know, but I thought she was such a great character. So the office is destroyed. He gives up his life as a hitman, and he and Debbie are going to be together.
And I like his final conversation with the secretary. He's like, hey, look under your desk. There's something for you. I'll catch up with you in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, why? Like, you don't want to be told by a hitman that he's going to catch up with you in a couple weeks.
Exactly. You don't want to know that they're coming back into your life.
Right.
Luckily, he left her money, and he settled that with her. And, he's going to leave it all behind.
Yeah, they hit the road to the mm-hmm. tune of the Violent Femmes. Blister in the Sun.
I did enjoy the 80s music in this.
Lot of good music in there.
Yeah.
I love the Violent Femmes, too. I think they're an underappreciated band.
Okay.
They are more than just Blister in the Sun.
Yeah, you peasants.
Name me one other.
Cannot.
Okay.
Couldn't have even named you that one.
You've never heard that song before?
I probably have. I just don't know what it is.
That's fair.
Yeah. I enjoy Take On Me. That song still.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in there.
We got a little Faith No More as they're heading into the high school reunion. A little We Care A Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-Mike Patton Faith No More. Still good Faith No More.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
No. Yeah. I don't know. Overall, gross point blank, that's some thumbs up.
It does have some thumbs up. How many
No pressure.
It was good. I really liked it. I don't feel like I'm going to watch it all the time, but I definitely enjoyed it. So I'll give it a 3.5.
That's respectable.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.5.
That's respectable.
It was a fun movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.5 as well.
What is our measurement? Blanks?
Yeah, yep. Let's go 3.5 high school reunions out of 4. I don't know.
I like mine better, but yours, I'll go with high reunions.
Yeah, I like yours better too.
It's fine. I'll just let you have your thing.
It's not a competition. It's just a podcast.
But yeah, it was a super cute movie, and I feel like John Cusack was perfect for that kind of hitman role.
Yeah.
You know, it was just super fun.
I just like it that, you know, there have been other movies that have done the high school thing, the old friends getting back together thing, but this mm-hmm. one did it so differently with that hitman having a mental crisis spin.
Yes.
Like, that's what I like about this movie. And John Cusack is like you said, fucking adorable.
Mm-hmm.
I like
the look. I like the look in the movie, for mm-hmm. sure.
Also, Minnie Driver. I like Minnie Driver. She played Debbie. She was kind of like the indie darling of that late 90s time period. She was in Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
She was a girlfriend there. She did a lot. And then she just kind of disappeared for a while. And yeah. I don't know, maybe she's back doing stuff. I hope so, because I think she's super talented.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Maybe she got into a career in radio. And she's just
she
living
could.
Off. She could.
She's got the pipes for she's it. Got,
she does. And then she's got that Goodwill Hunting residuals coming in. So she could, you know.
She's got money to do whatever she wants to do.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She can get out of that bullshit and just live her life.
There it is.
Good for her.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Gross point blank. We got another winner.
Another winner, baby.
So, as we're about to head into a new month here on Huntsville Home Video, we are going to be going into another theme month.
Mm-hmm.
The only time we've really ever done theme months was for Marvel movies.
I guess we haven't done full months before.
Other than like October when we did our side project with Hell Comes to Huntsville.
Correct.
We did all the horror movies.
We're not doing that many movies for the month of June.
Okay. Let me just scratch that out on my notes
so
here.
So pick your favorite ones out of that list you got over there.
Okay. There is a movie coming out at the end of June that Leanne and I are so excited for.
We're freaking out, baby.
We got the nerd tingles. We got the watery eyeballs.
Yes.
We got the hype, mm-hmm. as the kids on the street like to call it.
Sure.
Elvis coming out June 24th.
I am so excited about this. You and I have texted multiple times when a trailer comes out. Oh my God. Also, when I first heard about it, I was not excited about it because I feel like I was just like, oh, this is going to be another one. I don't think this dude looks like Elvis. And
yep.
Boy, was I wrong, because you came to my office.
I did.
And you were like, have you seen the trailer yet? And I was like, no, I'm not going to waste my time. And you were like, no, you need to watch it. And then I proceeded to watch it and cry.
Yep. Because this was what happened before that. I was in the McDonald's drive-thru trying to get myself a Shamrock Shake.
Yeah.
Scrolling through my phone. New Elvis trailer dropped. Oh, fuck.
Uh-huh.
I watched that first trailer. There I am, crying in the McDonald's parking lot. And then got my Shamrock Shake.
Mm-hmm.
Came immediately to the radio station. Came to your office like, we need to watch this.
Yes.
And then,
yes.
Yeah.
And I watched it on repeat. I have watched it on repeat. And every trailer that has come out for it, I texted you literally the other day because the new one came out.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm fine, just weeping. I was weeping again.
Yeah. I today, before we recorded the podcast, I saw a premiere of the movie interview with the dude playing Elvis. He was talking about his speech patterns because, like, I think he sounds like him from the trailer. Like, he sounds like Elvis.
And you and I got into this the other day talking about it. It's not just a standard impression. Everybody has that standard impression of Elvis, like you said the
right.
other day. We weren't talking on the mic or anything, but, this is not an imitation. Like, this sounds so much like Elvis.
Yeah.
His freaking movements, his hand gestures, like, it's so fascinating. It's the best I've ever seen.
Because
I just thought at first they weren't going to do him justice. And, like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super excited for that.
Yeah. Did you see where Austin Butler, who plays Elvis, he was talking about kind of like he did the movie. The next day, his body just started shutting down. Like he had done that. And then he talked about he found out that Elvis's mother died when he was 23 years old. Austin Butler's mother passed when he was 23 years old. Did you hear that?
Oh, no, I didn't see that
one.
So
he was like, I was able to connect with him with that. And his ending quote was, there's never been anybody that I've never met before that I have loved as much as I love Elvis Presley.
Fuck.
Is that not insane? Yeah! I almost wept listening to that today. Yes.
The one I listened to today, he was talking about how, you know, he was basically a part, like, doing this movie for years, you know, because it got shut down a little bit for COVID and whatnot.
Right.
So it was always like it was in development. It was a thing. And he just started talking like Elvis to the point where he now still to this day will slip back into it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. He'll have like that little bit of a drawl or whatever.
Right.
So in honor of this movie coming out in June. We're not going to watch Elvis movies.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to watch Elvis-related movies.
Okay.
And then I think, and I'll propose this to you, I think the episode that would normally drop on, like, the Monday after Elvis comes out, we just review Elvis.
Okay.
In?
Yes.
In.
Yes.
We'll just
talk about, we'll cry and we'll talk.
Yeah, it'll be great.
We'll have a good little moment.
But until then, we will talk about Elvis-y movies, where Elvis isn't necessarily in them, but he is a character in them.
But it's not a movie about Elvis, because there's several of those that specifically Elvis, like miniseries and shit like
that.
Yeah, we're not doing those.
In fact, we've already talked about one of them, kind of, with True Romance. Clarence talks to the king.
Mm-hmm, he do. Who was that played the king?
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, that's right.
Yeah. We're going to start it out.
I don't like when you get that tone.
Because I know that this is going to be one that you're probably not going to like. Like, right off the bat.
Okay.
We're going to watch Bubba Ho-Tep.
I remember that name, but I don't remember anything about it. Or maybe you never told me anything about it.
Elderly Elvis fights a mummy.
God damn it. All right. Well,
he also teams up with
No more. I don't want to know anymore.
That's it.
I'm ready for the shock of my life.
Okay.
Bubba fucking Ho-Tep.
We will let that happen.
All right. I'm ready.
Are you?
I might love it. Who knows? I don't know. I don't want to see the king fight a mummy. I don't want to see the king fight a mummy.
It's the king as played by Bruce Campbell. Fuck, we might not make it out of June. Shit.
Oh, God.
I should have saved this one for last, maybe.
I needed to know that before because it would have really pissed me the fuck off. I'm not a big, huge fan of him.
I feel ya.
You know?
I feel ya.
I feel like the only thing he did was Evil Dead, and he was not an actor to me.
We'll talk more about that next week.
Bruce Campbell?
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me ahead of time. I needed to know that fact ahead of time to prepare, to let it sink in.
I will say this.
Okay.
It is my favorite Bruce Campbell performance.
All right. Okay. Maybe it'll be so off the wall that I'll like it.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
It's
is this movie about bowling?
Yeah. Yep. There's some bowling involved. The dude shows up at one point. It's good. It's quirky. It's different. Like, I really enjoy it. But we'll find out what you think of it.
Okay. I hope it's so off the rails that I like it, that I can put aside and like it. Okay.
All right.
I'm ready. I'm glad we got Bruce Campbell out of the way, though. I would immediately been pissed. I'd be like, God damn it, this guy. So, okay.
I'd have gotten some text messages on that one.
Yeah. Fuck you, Jack.
All right. Fucking Bruce Campbell, you fucking brah.
Yep. That's how I text.
Yep. I screenshot a lot of them. We'll save this one for a meme later.
Yep, this will come up later.
So we're going to be kicking off Elvis month next week here on Huntsville Home Video. Make sure you follow us on all them social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
Ugh. at HSV Home Video.
And also a shout out to our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, _photography. Michael basically got a photo of me as Elvis recently.
You did. Yeah.
I was officiating a wedding wearing a replica of the tux that the king got married in. Had the big aviators on.
You had the aviators on. You had that. And then you had a... this blew my mind. I still think about this. You paired that jacket with a pink shirt, and it was the best choice ever.
Yeah.
It looks so fucking rad, dude. Mm-hmm. And you had your chucks on.
Yeah.
I was like, this is how Jack Spades to walk around all the time. I was like, this is how Jack Spades... And I don't know if I said it here, like... on here, or if we said this behind the scenes, but I was like, after that, I'm like, if I ever get married, Jack Spade is officiating my wedding, and that's what you're gonna wear.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big pink fan, but I'm like, I'll let you wear pink at my wedding.
I can pull that shit off.
You can.
And then
fucking reels.
And then you know who made it look better? Michael at Underboss Photography.
He did.
God damn.
You were his clay, and he molded into a masterpiece.
He texted me that photo. I was like, man, who's that sexy motherfucker? That ain't me. Sure enough.
It was you that day, motherfucker.
It was. Make sure to give Michael a follow on all those social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Check out his stuff. And then check us out next Monday, baby, 10 a.m. We will be shaking our hips, tapping our toes, kicking off Elvis Month.
I'm so excited.
With motherfucking Bubba Hotep. Until then, be kind and rewind. I really got nothing.
Do you know what, dude? I don't either. Let's just end it.